lead. Now the first thing that he did was to worship him. That is an expression of faith. So remember, without faith it is impossible to please God. And if you want your faith to produce results, one of the things that there are many things you do, but one of the things that you can easily do is to express yourself in worship to God. This man had never had an encounter with God again, Jesus before. But the first encounter, the first thing that he did was to worship him. So he said, my daughter is now even dead. But the first thing he did was to worship him. Now, and you know, if you read down, you don't understand that that daughter that was dead came back to life. So in order to assess God, you must learn how to worship him. So the other thing I want to talk about worship is here, is the fact that worship is an expression of submission. When I say submission, I submit to God. Now, it's not everybody that submits to God. It's not everybody that submits to God. And if you don't submit to God, you don't have faith in God. So let me give you an example now. Now, as we're speaking now, and God is saying, you know what? You see that money that you have been saving, and you want to use it to buy something, and you've been saving it. I want you to give it for my project. And you say, God, I worship you. I submit to you. The moment God points your heart to that money, you say, no, God, I will not submit. And he walk away. Remember the rich man that came to Jesus? He didn't submit to God. So worship is an act of submission. Now that's just an example. But there are cases, example where, you know, I remember some years ago when I was here on campus. So I was preaching one day and the word of wisdom just came. And I was, you know, speaking it out. There's someone here, you know, all of these things. So I spoke the word of wisdom. And later the person came in and said, after the close of the meeting, the young girl came to me and I said, that why are you having this fear? Because the word was like we're friend or something. He now said, look, I had, you know, there's a boyfriend and all of that. He now said I should pray for her. And I said, okay, that's okay, no problem. But the first thing is you go and break that relationship, then I'll pray for you. I don't want to pray for you now and then you turn back to the relationship and be doing iniquity. I say, go and break that relationship and then come back. I will now pray for you so that the prayer will settle down you. Anyway, he said, no, I can't break the relationship. That's the problem. Do you understand? So if you really want to worship God, you must submit. So regardless of what you are holding very dear and tight to you, so worship is an act of submission. All this one that you see, you are worshiping God. We get there very soon. So you are worshiping God. And then there's a phone here, you're worshiping God, your laptop, your iPad, somebody is calling you and your mind is bombarded and you're just enjoying the melody. In fact, that's not worship. So first is an art of faith. Second is an art of submission. Am I making sense tonight? So if you really want to worship God here, now you have to submit. Those pride, everything that you submit before him. So let's look at one typical example and then we will close. Look at, turn to Matthew chapter 10 verse 5. I just picked that up. Matthew 10 verse 5. Watch this. Am I making sense at all? So that it doesn't look like I'm talking to myself. See, these 12, after listing out the names of the 12 disciples, these 12 disciples, Jesus thought and commanded them saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now watch this one. Don't go to the ways of the Gentiles. Remember, the Bible says salvation is first for the Jews. So when Jesus came, he was ministering to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. For he knew that after his death, all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, will come to Christ. But first, salvation was for the Jews first. Now, so Jesus was telling the disciples, he was training them how to preach. He said, as you're going to preach, don't preach to the Gentiles. When you see the Jews, select when you see Gentiles, don't preach to them, don't mind them. Just focus on the Jews, the children of Abraham. 12 tribe of Israel. Those are the people we preach to. Now watch this now. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the city of what? The Samaritan. Enter ye not. Next verse. Look at it. He said, but go rather to the lost sheep of what? Israel. Next verse. And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and all of that. So he did that. Now look at Matthew chapter 15. Let's go to Matthew 15:25. Maybe we'll just go back a little. Matthew 15, go back a little. Go back a little. That's verse 23. Let's start from there. So that now, but he answered, okay, just go back. Let's see verse 20. Where would the story start from? Okay, next verse 21. Okay, good. Now, yes. What verse? No, next. Okay, that's good. Now, this is where the story started from. Now, watch this everywhere. Now, he says, and behold, a woman of Cana. This is a Gentile woman. Now, remember in chapter 10, Jesus has told his disciples that don't preach to them, because salvation is not for them. Now, and a Gentile woman, there come a woman of Cana, came out of this coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed. Next verse, that's possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. What he cried after us. Not he's not crying after you, but us. Amen. That's what I'm saying. How come a woman came to Jesus? You didn't ask yourself. Please, my daughter is possessed. She's dying. A whole merciful God. A whole Jesus. The Bible says he answered her not a word. Now, Jesus at that point was kind of confused. Because here is a man. The Bible, we know that we lead by example. You have already told your disciples not to preach to this set of people. You have told them not to even go to them and preach to them. Then the same set of people, a person from that day is coming to you and asking for a miracle. And the disciples that you have instructed, they are there. What are you going to do? So, ordinarily, the woman is not qualified for any miracle. But just look at the strategy of the woman. He answered her not a word. And the disciples say, send her. They will say, send her away. These are not the people that we should be preaching to. It's not their tongue. Next verse, look at it. But he answered and said, I am not. That's when Jesus replied. Is it next verse? Hope I have read 23. Let's see 23. That way we just read. Okay, 24. I'll go to 24. Say, but he answered and said, not sent. Now he was not talking to the woman, just like he was just facing and just thinking. He said, I am not sent. Do you get? I am not sent, but unto the lost of what? Israel. The same people he told disciples to preach to. So, woman, I am not sent to you. Next verse, look at it. Then came she and did what? Did you see that? That is where, now remember. That ruler that came, the way he got access to Jesus was through worship. Now this man, of course, this woman, of course, understood that even though it is not time for your miracle, but you can access that miracle through worship. Send her away. But when you worship, they will send you away. You understand it now. So he said she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now watch the next verse. Now drama. Now yes, now you see, when you say somebody has put Jesus under pressure, because whenever God receives worship, he does not reject it. Do you understand it now? When you see a sincere worship, God does not reject it, for the reason why we are made was to worship him. And so while you engage in prophetic worship, God does not reject you, regardless of what you have done, regardless of whether it is your turn to receive miracle or not. So it is an access to the supernatural. Now look at this. I answered her not a word,
And say, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take children's bread. Madam, this miracle, this anointing that I have, it does not belong to you. It's for the Lordship of Israel. So I will be doing disservice to Israel if I take this anointing and give it to the Gentiles. He said it is not right. It is not meant to give the children's bread and cast it to dogs. But you know what? When you are already in the realm of the spirit, now you are no longer yourself. God begins to alter your word. You even know when you become prophetic. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now, ordinarily, if you are not in the spirit, if you have not entered the realm of worship, you will get angry. That's why when you are in the presence of God, worshiping God, God utters your tongue. He utters your tongue. What you say, your languages are different. Now look at what the woman said. Now next verse. And she said, true Lord, there's no time for arguments in the place of worship. God, now when you are worshiping, you say, God, warn me. Almighty God, warn me. That's not worship. He said, and she said, true Lord, yet the dogs, it's the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That's where she finished Jesus. We are not arguing here. That's what worship can do. It is not the woman who said this thing. It was inspired by the realm of worship. Next verse. Look at what Jesus replied. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, all the things that Jesus was saying before now was not to her. But Jesus now answered her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made up from that hour. Great is thy faith. What better this great faith? The art of worship. What generated this faith? This not just faith, but great faith. It was the art of worship. Oh woman, great is thy faith. So when you worship God, it is an expression of faith. Not just faith, but great faith. So don't play with moment of worship. It's an expression of faith. I don't know what you need. Worship is saying, find a way to bless me, even if there is no way. Even though I am not qualified for this blessing, I am not qualified for this evening, but find a way to bless me. That's what she was saying. Worship will always find a way to bless you. Glory be to God. As I tie this up this evening, there are two things. Two keys to worship. Now I have a lot of keys on worship, my book, How to Worship God. So you can find it on Amazon, on something. But I just share two things with you. That's going to help you. Now this one is practical, what we are going to use this evening, because our guest minister will come in and all of that. So when you are worshiping God, you use it. Is that okay? The first thing here is, it's taken from John chapter 4 verse 20 to 24. Worship in sincerity, truth. Worship in truth and in spirit. So it is not anything. God is a spirit. Go to verse 20. That's what. 20 from verse 20. Our father worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Next verse. Jesus said unto a woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Next verse. He said, look, ye worship know not what. We worship what we know what we worship,
For salvation is of the Jews. He's coming back again. Salvation is what? Of the Jews. Next verse. But the hour cometh, and now is. Look at this now. Very important there. The hour cometh, and he says now, not then, now. Now is when the true worshiper. Now we are not no longer referring to Jews now. We're referring to all. Do you understand that? Now I say now is the when the true worshippers shall worship the Father, well, in spirit and in truth. That word truth is sincerity. For the Father is seeking such to worship. So you see why Jesus did not refuse the woman, because he's seeking. When you say ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall find, seek you shall find, knock it will be open to you. What's the other one now? Ask and you shall receive. That not true? Now you should underline that word, that Father himself is seeking. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is seeking. Just like you're seeking for financial blessing, you're seeking for healing, God is seeking for true worshippers, and they are scarce. True worshippers are scarce. You can read that up, read this biography, Matt Redman is a music producer. He's a song writer. He's a gospel artist. He has won a Grammy Award twice. I was watching his Facebook, that song. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh she is, oh. I think he had them on YouTube this afternoon. I just checked it up. That song had about 85 million views. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh she is only me. That's a Grammy Award. Won it twice, 2 years consecutively with the same song. So this man didn't start there. A time when they started the local church, like it was just a small church. So something happened. So the pastor, he was the music director in the church. So his pastor wanted to teach a series to show that worship is not song. Worship is more than a song. So his pastor now had to learn every form of musical instrument. No keyboard, no drum. You understand? No song. He banned song. You don't sing, you don't play instruments. They play in the church, but he said he wanted to teach that it's not song. So he said, find another way to worship God. So during those weeks, as the pastor was teaching those series, everybody began to worship God in different ways apart from song and musical instruments. Before that period was over, Matthew Redman wrote a song. And that song is, I bring you more than the song, for the song in itself is more than what you require. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It is all about you. It is all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. It is all about you. It is all about you, Jesus. Now, the line that caught my attention is, I bring you more than a song. For the song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. So that's why he says that worship is not song. Worship is not the musical instrument. Worship is sincerity of heart. So if you follow song
and you are not sincere from your heart, you will miss worship. Now this woman, this Canaanite woman that broke rules, there was no musical instrument, there was no song, but the Bible says she came and worshipped him. So forget about the song, forget about the instrument. There are things to aid us to worship him, but the fact that you have to worship God in truth and in sincerity. That's why when you get into that realm, when you are worshiping God, you don't know whether there is dust on the ground. You don't know whether everything. You live on the floor. That is coming from here. That act of faith. You see, God, when God sees that, he does not deny it. Are we together? So that first thing that, so if you came here to worship God, it has to be in spirit and in truth. That's what God is seeking for. He's not seeking for the excellency of your voice. He's not seeking for how that, but that is very important. It helps the music, but the point is, it has to be in truth and in spirit. Then finally, something that's going to help. Now look at Isaiah chapter 6. When you want to worship God, something that will help you, you worship God by imagination. Imagination helps your worship. Very powerful. Imagination. So I want to worship God now. What is the picture? Not a distorted imagination. What's the picture that you see? Now, every one of us, we have different imagination, how we imagine God. I can explain my imagination. That's how I see God. I see God when I'm worshiping God. God is on the throne. You know, there are angels there. You know, the times when I'm worshiping God, I sing. I'm not like angels back me up. So as I'm singing, I'm hearing angels doing back up for me. That's imagination. And you know, the moment I do that, you see the atmosphere around that is filled up and charged. That's imagination. So once you have a distorted imagination, you can't worship God in truth and in spirit. Now, this is the imagination. No, verse 1. Now, this is the imagination, the picture, the image that Isaiah, you know, shows to us. But it's not the perfect image, because there's no way you can know God. That's his own. That's the picture. Now, look at it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. You can use this this picture. You understand? But it's deeper than this. It's far better than this. The reality of God, you can't. It only give you a little things, but you have to have imagination. You have to imagine who you are worshiping. It is the magnitude of that imagination that determines how you react, how you worship him. Do you understand it? I'll give you an example. If a local government chairman comes to this place, we are going to local government chairman, you're welcome, sir. Then as he's sitting down, everybody with local government chairman, the next thing, just walk inside. Is the welcome, sir, that we give local government chairman, is it the same welcome, sir, we'll give the governor? It has changed. Then the president walks in, welcome, sir. The same welcome, but the welcome, sir, is different. That's how worship. So the greater the imagination, the greater the worship. So if you imagine God small, you worship him small. But once your imagination is big, so that's why the effectiveness of your worship is the picture that you have about God. Now the man said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. This is his imagination. High and lifted up, and he filled the temple. Next verse, look at this now. He said, above it stood the seraphims. He was describing imagination. Each one with six wings. With twine, the seraphims are angels. With twine, they have six wings. So with twine, two, they cover his their face. And with twine, they cover their feet. And with twine, they did fly. So he's saying that they are sitting there. I saw the picture. Angel, God sitting on the throne. The angels around him. The angels, they were having six wings. Two, they're flying with two wings. They cover their feet because of the glory.
and two, they covered their face. Next verse.
He said, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy. Look at the worship there. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory. So if you don't see that glory, your worship will be limited. So as you enter the realm of the spirit, you close your eyes and begin to sense glory. Before you, your leg is stripped off. Sometimes when I watch, I forget where I am. You understand? I just forget. I'm laying on the floor because I see glory. It is your imagination. So when I watch, even
you've seen glory. You are not worshiping God. You have come here to waste your time.
So you can't be soaked. You cannot be soaked in worship if you don't see glory. You can't be soaked. Now look at the next verse.
And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Do you understand? Now they saw in the Old Testament when the glory filled the temple, even the priest could not minister. Those are the picture you keep in your mind when you are worshiping God. Next verse, look at it. He said, then said I, woe is me. You see the art of submission now. I know they near God. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of uncleanness and dwell in the midst of a people of uncleanness, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So once you understand the limitation that you have before the throne, he said, you bow down. That word is proskuneo. It means to worship God. Prostrate.
It's part of your physical worship, your physical posture. In this example of praying and worshiping God, your hands are in your pocket like this.
You see, that's, you know, Bamba was talking about different level of pride.
That's what you called a heart.
It's not the most, I greet you, sir. It's, but it has a proud heart.
But the Bible talks about a proud look.
A proud look. The person is humble inside though, but his look, when you see him, he's proud. So you can't be worshiping God and put your hand on the pocket.
A proud look. You just see pride.
It is an act of submission. So I just give you two keys this evening. Now I'm sure that once we get into the realm of the spirit, remember, it's an act of faith, an act of submission. Then you use your imagination and ensure that you switch into the realm of the spirit and worship him in sincerity.
Can you bow down your heads and just talk to God?
The year that King Uzziah died,